As you maintain your awareness, your consciousness of that space, that presence, that gap between your thoughts that arises when you consider who you are without thoughts, without emotions, without ideas, who you are without memories, without associations, without any of the conceptual understandings that we normally have about the self. When we really ask that question, who am I without all this? And we allow ourselves, as we've been doing, to touch into the space, the presence that arises in response, we actually are able to tune in, at first maybe just for a second. For some of you, it may have been a doorway into a deeper meditative state. For some of you, an experience of very deep neutrality, a kind of observing, witnessing place. But as we tune more and more into that and become more and more familiar with it, we actually begin to recognize some of the truths that the sages of the different traditions, especially the traditions of self-realization in the non-dual direct path teachings of the East, you realize that in that place, you're free of all limitation, you're independent, you're calm, you're without dimension, you're without form, you're imperturbable. Your nature is innate intelligence. And it's possible to know yourself in that place, in that experience, as pure awareness and love. It's actually possible to experience yourself as pure awareness. And as you enter that pure awareness, it will begin to reveal that its essence is a very tender quality that we can only call love. So, in recognizing this space that arises within us, when we ask ourselves questions like, who am I or what am I? What am I when there are no words? And you tune right into that presence. Then you're tuning into the truth that Lao Tzu, that Shankara, that so many of the great masters told us, from your true nature, everything is born. In you, everything is supported. You are this. You are this consciousness. And as this consciousness, the question is, are you born? Do you ever die? Is this consciousness limited by the body? Is this consciousness the same in you as it is in me? So just let yourself be present in the presence that you may be tuned into now. And just allow this thought, which is one of the fundamental realizations that comes after some time as we do these practices. You are this consciousness. You are this love. You are this truth. You are this. So even now, as you sit in the silence and then tune back into my voice, as you rest here, notice how thoughts and perceptions arise and subside, images arise and subside inside the mind. And notice, do thoughts require any effort or decision before they arise? Or do they just come up on their own? As there's awareness of thoughts which arise and fall again in consciousness, would it be true to say that these thoughts are happening spontaneously, that they're self-arising, that thoughts are created by consciousness itself, that they come up spontaneously out of the field of consciousness. Just notice if that feels true to you, that your thoughts, your images, whatever is arising and subsiding in the mind is actually self-arising. It's coming up all by itself. It's not like there's somebody there who's making thoughts arise. The whole process of thinking and conceiving, of ideas, thoughts, concepts being created in the mind, is there anyone doing that? Or is it just happening? And see if you can find out, also, if you're aware of the emotional atmosphere within you. Feelings shifting and changing, whether feelings of peace or restlessness or dullness or excitement, whatever feelings you may be aware of, do they require any effort on your part to shift and change, to arise and subside? Just notice, yes, of course, you can deliberately induce a feeling state, but in general, isn't it true that emotions come and go inside the mind? And seeing this, recognizing this, is it okay to just let go of trying to control your state, of grasping feelings or trying to push them away, of following thoughts or trying to push them away? You can just allow them to arise and subside on their own. And if stillness is arising, you can let that arise. And if stillness is overcome by thoughts, you can let that happen too. And once again, you can ask yourself, who am I? Or perhaps the question might be now, in what do these thoughts arise and subside? In what do these thoughts arise and subside? And just let that question tune you back into the source, tune you back into that which underlies the thoughts, which is at the heart of thoughts, that which is present to the thoughts that arise and to the thoughts that subside. What is that? Who is that? So to know the answer, to really feel, to fully experience the answer to this question, what is it that's aware of these words and ideas and concepts that are events in time? Who is it that you are when these words and thoughts and concepts and ideas and emotions are not present? The answer, as a felt experience, is the same in all cases. And to know that, to recognize that, to experience that there is that in which thought moves, there is that which is present to experience. It's beyond conceptual understanding, beyond thought, beyond anything that you read in books or hear. And to know that, to recognize that, to be that, is what's called liberation or self-realization. The recognition of the consciousness, the awareness that's the ocean in which the waves arise or the canvas on which the images are painted, on which they're projected, And little by little, you begin to recognize that this being is not an object of awareness. That to know it, you actually have to be it. And that this is who you are. So every path, every meditation will lead in some measure at some point to this place, this space out of which thoughts and emotions arise. This inner non-conceptual experience of knowing and being. So, as we've been saying, and as we'll be continuing to practice, this underlying awareness, this awaring, this beingness, is both your real self and the knower of your experience. And it's also, although this may not be immediately apparent, it's also the pure essence of love, so that when we talk about the nature of reality, what we call it is being, awaring, and blissfulness, or love, or we call it awareness love, because the two sides, the two qualities that arise in states of self-knowing are awareness love. And sometimes we're discerning that inner self as awareness, and sometimes we're discerning it or experiencing it as love. The awaring experience is more about discernment, perception, subtle perception. The love experience is more about a feeling state, but it's a feeling state that's much more fundamental than emotions, even though it can arise out of emotional love and can also take us into a state of emotional love. And part of what we're going to be practicing with in this, the rest of this time together, is looking at the different doorways and ways of practice that combine the two sides of our nature, the awareness and love. In the real experience of liberation, self-realization, where freedom from thoughts and the recognition of the absolute fullness of yourself come together, and where that experience of being free of thoughts and living inside the fullness of your own love, when that experience, when that knowingness then expands so that you're able to recognize that actually that same awareness love is in everything else, that moment of self-recognition, and then the fullness of that self-recognition seen expressing itself as the other and as the world and as the earth, that state or station, as the Sufis call it, is the very definition of practical enlightenment. And as we've been talking earlier about the enlightenment of emptiness, or the enlightenment of seeing the self free of concepts, ideas, free of thoughts, free of emotions, of seeing into the fact that what we really are is actually free of our limited ideas of I-ness, that the paradoxical great I that we really are is free of any limited sense of I. It's actually empty of any conceptual idea of self It is pure awareness. So to realize that, to recognize that, is what we call the enlightenment of emptiness, the enlightenment of open spaciousness. And to realize, to recognize the self as love, and to realize and recognize the love that's intrinsic in the universe itself, in the air itself, in others, in objects even, to realize that and be able to act on that is what is sometimes called the enlightenment of fullness, or the realization of the full ecstasy of the self. And again, as we've been saying earlier, some traditions privilege or specialize or identify enlightened awake states as being states of freedom from thought or freedom from identification with a limited I. And other traditions identify enlightenment or self-realization as being full immersion in the love quality, in what we could call the divine fullness of the qualities of consciousness, of reality, the qualities of love, of absolute recognition of perfection, of the realization of the truth that everything is permeated with the divine, of the freedom of recognizing yourself as one with all that is. All these qualities, which are qualities of our innate self, begin to express themselves in the enlightenment of fullness. And the truth is that we need them both. They go together, they go side by side. Without the, you know, if we only tune in to the experience, to the recognition of our freedom from concepts of, let's say, the emptiness of the self, the freedom of the self, then very often we experience that emptiness as a little bit disconnected, as maybe even a little bit, so what? You know, it's the famous Zen saying, is this all there is? That it actually is an expression of one phase of the awakening of the emptiness. It's that we go, well, wait a minute. What's so great about life if I'm just experiencing this no-thingness where there's no identification with my personal being and no identification with the person who relates to others? And that phase of enlightenment or self-realization is actually cured. And this is a truth that many practitioners in emptiness traditions have recognized, that feeling of emptiness as disconnection or disassociation is cured by the recognition that the self is love. So, in other words, the enlightenment of fullness and the enlightenment of emptiness have to go together. Without the sense of fullness, the enlightenment of emptiness is a little bit depressing. And without the realization of emptiness, the enlightenment of fullness can lead you to grandiosity, you know, to a kind of inflation. I have a dear friend who had a profound awakening experience in which he really experienced all the powers of himself, of his divine self, just totally exploding within him. And he realized that he is love, and that but in fact he is love. He is power. He is divine. And, you know, he'd been brought up as a Christian, and he had a deep recognition, Christ and I are one. I am not different than Christ. Christ is me. And he was, in those days, he was quite naive about the stages on the spiritual path. And when he came out of that full experience of that state, his ego seized it, and he actually went through a period where he had to remind himself that there was a big difference between recognizing your own consciousness as Christ consciousness and thinking you're Jesus. You know, so the tendency to grandiosity, which comes when you have an experience of enlightenment as fullness, is something that we actually need to turn to the enlightenment of emptiness, to who am I really, to what am I beyond all this, in order to, let's say, cure the excesses of the experience of fullness. So in our practice, we work with both. the really deep inquiry, what am I really, and entering into that space of the non-conceptual I, and then tuning into the feeling state of love and allowing that feeling state to unfold and expand. And in our last meditation, we're going to actually tune into the very simple experience of love as a doorway into the unfoldment of what we could call infinite love, or whatever taste of infinite love we might experience moment to moment. First, I'd like to just say a little bit about the way we're practicing in this class, and you will have received a homework assignment which includes a request that you meditate for 20 minutes a day, and the instructions for that 20-minute meditation are there on the sheet. I'm also going to be sending you tomorrow, that is on Friday, the instructions for a half-hour contemplation that I really very strongly recommend that you practice at least once during the week. And also a couple of questions that if you like to work with a partner, you may use as a way of discussing what's going on in your experience, and also how you are understanding and how your insight about the practice of enlightenment is unfolding during these 3 weeks. And as we said in the letter, if you're interested in having a partner, you can write to Debbie and she will fix you up with somebody. And finally, I'd like to mention the listserv, which is very much open for questions and comments. And many of you who've taken these classes before know that the community that's formed on the listserv is extremely supportive, and really a beautiful way to feel that you're seen and known and actually befriended in this extremely safe and loving community. And also, it's the place where you can ask me questions. So if you need to stretch for a moment before the next meditation, please feel free to do that. If you'd like to stand, shake your limbs out, or just stretch your arms overhead or bend forward, that's perfect. And in fact, in meditation, it's sometimes very important to move your body so that you can go deeper. It's a paradox, but there are times when standing up or stretching very slowly and mindfully and then coming back to your meditation posture will actually revitalize your meditation, and you'll be able to go deeper. So take a full breath in, filling up first the bottom lungs and the middle lungs and the top of the lungs, and then an exhalation, just letting go of anything that you experience inside your body or inside your mind that might feel resisting or holding or tight. And again, inhale and softly, gently exhale. And then with the inhalation, let the breath bring your attention down to the base of the posture. And with the exhalation, allow the breath to bring your awareness up through the center of the body, so that the body will naturally elongate itself using the energy of the breath, letting your body come into alignment, the bottom part of your body grounding your hips and buttocks, grounding into the seat, your torso, your spinal column, lifting and elongating very naturally with the breath, allowing your shoulders, your chest to expand, and your shoulder blades to release onto the back. Allowing your chest, your chin, just to drop a fraction of an inch so that the curve in the back of your neck is maintained and your head is balanced, aligned between your shoulders. And with the next inhalation and exhalation, bring your awareness into the center, in the middle of the chest. And do this easily without forcing. You just want to let the breath sink your attention into the heart center. Or it might want to go a little lower, that's fine. And let your breath come and go from the heart, flowing in the general direction of the heart, the center of the chest, and flowing out from that place. And as you allow the breath to flow, bring into your mind a moment when you felt unselfconscious love. It might have been love for a romantic partner, for a pet, for a parent or a grandparent, for a place. For it might have been a moment in nature when just the feeling of gratitude expanded in you. And let yourself revisit that moment. And the other way you can do this is to think of someone that you love, someone you really feel a tenderness for, and bring that person to mind and feel the feeling that you have in that person's presence. So you are either remembering a time when you felt great love, or you're remembering a person for whom you feel great love. And just really let yourself summon through the imagination the memory of that person, that time, that place, that animal, and the felt sense of affection, of tenderness, that feeling of love. And now take away the thought of the person or the place or the time and just let yourself immerse yourself in the felt sense of tenderness, of affection, of love. It doesn't have to be a big feeling. Even the tiniest feeling of love is a connection point to the big love, the great love. As the breath flows in and out, you allow yourself to tune into the felt sense of love, the felt sense of tenderness. And if objections come up or feelings of not being quite in touch with it, just breathe those out. And allow the warmth, the intimate sense of tenderness that you've touched into. To spread out from the heart. To fill your body and fill your mind. So that from one point of view, you're allowing your consciousness to sink into the felt sense of love. And from another point of view, you're allowing that felt sense of love to spread through your heart, through your body, and through the whole field of your consciousness at this moment. And just be present. Anchoring yourself with the breath. Tuning into the felt sense of loving presence. Love dwells within you as you.